As we go to prayer this morning, just a few things I wanted to offer to you that you could be lifting through the week, and then a quiet moment, of course, for the things you brought with you. First, there's a woman named Valerie Kundrich who's in hospice. She's the mom of Donna Coley in our church, and Valerie herself is a member here too, if you would pray for them. Mark Nelson, who usually sits right in the back of this service, is in Cleveland Clinic with cancer and is on dialysis, if you would pray for Mark. Kelly Novak is a young mom that was at our Vacation Bible School this week that had a brain aneurysm and is in UH right now. So not only those folks, but people who are preparing to leave tonight for Nehemiah Mission to serve together. In fact, if anybody's here that's going to Nehemiah, anybody? If you would stand just so we know who you are, we'll be praying for you. Anybody? Ben doesn't want to. Ben's going. So there. All right, Ben, we're going to pray for you anyhow. Let's pray. Let's do that. We do belong to you. We are wrapped up in you. We see our lives as a gift from you, this moment as grace. We know, God, we have been called for something bigger than ourselves. And you invite us to grow through our pain, to listen deeply to our joy, to care and to serve, not so much out of our strength, but out of our brokenness and weakness. You've invited us into a great adventure to risk and to change for the sake of real love, even to break our hearts by it. Oh, please, God, forgive us for the lethargy and laziness, for the fear and the pride and the prejudice, for succumbing to the things that frighten to us rather than to move from the couch into the world that you've called us to love and serve. Help us not so much today to crave the comfort of our homes, but to dare the chaos of a new birth with you. We pray now in a moment of quiet for those things that were mentioned aloud, as well as those things that rest deeply within us that we need and want to offer to you. Hear your people now, God, as we lift our concerns and joys and hopes to you. Thank you for the gift of Pastor Hannah, who will be sharing your word. We pray you would send your Holy Spirit for an intellect to understand, for a reason to discern, for diligence to seek, but more than anything, a heart that would be open to your love and grace through Christ, who taught us to pray together with the boldness of children, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you've been missing for just maybe 2 weeks on vacation or hiatus or something, or if you're a brand newcomer to our church, I'm really thrilled for you to hear and be introduced to you, our new associate pastor, Reverend Hannah Tucker. She's a gift to us. You'll find out even much more about that in the next few minutes. And after the 9:25 service, 8:15 wanted to, but they didn't. But after 9:25, after she was done with the message, they all started to cheer and clap. And she said appropriately to me that they never have done that for me, ever. I said actually one time when I talked too long, somebody did clap because they were glad it was over, but it was different. Somehow it was different. Hannah, we're so glad to have you, especially right here and now. Would you welcome Pastor Hannah, please, to our church?
And there's no expectation that you clap at the end. I just, you know.
I set you up.
Yeah. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of the book of John, verses 35 through 51. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So for those of you I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, like Dave said, I'm Pastor Hannah. I'm the new associate pastor. I've lived in Strongsville for almost 3 whole weeks now. And even though I have spent most of my life living in Ohio, I've never lived anywhere in Northeast Ohio. So this whole area is brand new to me. And at least in my own personal opinion, I'm doing a pretty good job at learning my own way around. I moved here from Tiffin, which is over in Northwest Ohio. And Tiffin, if you've never been there, you can know about it, that it is the land of unnecessary one-way streets. So just the fact that both of your, all your streets seem to go in both directions have convinced me that I could stay here for the rest of my life. Now, of course, those of you who have moved to a new place or have visited a new place, as you know, when you're somewhere new, you spend a lot of time looking and noticing the things around you. I've probably become one of the world's worst drivers, because now every time I go somewhere, I'm looking off to the side and thinking like, "Oh, what's that over there? I wonder where that street goes. I wonder what's in that shopping center. Is that another Starbucks?" Which is very important to me, because before I lived an hour from any Starbucks, and so every time I see one now, I get so excited. So I've been looking and noticing things around Strongsville, but I've also been looking and noticing things here at the church. Even in a few short weeks, I've noticed the kind way in which you have welcomed me. I've started to see the love and care that you have for each other and for the community. Last week, I got the privilege of seeing VBS in action, of seeing the excitement of the kids who were here learning about Jesus and how Jesus rescues them, and of seeing the many volunteers who gave much of their week to make it happen. And I've been told about and have been invited to know more, to come and see many of the other things going on at the church. And this idea of noticing, of looking, of coming and seeing what is happening It's at the core of our scripture this morning. We just read the story of Jesus calling some of the first disciples in the Gospel of John. First, we have some of John the Baptist's disciples. They're hanging out with John, and Jesus appears, and these disciples are invited to come and see what Jesus is all about. In their brief time with Jesus, they are so convinced that he is somebody that they want to follow, that one of them, Andrew, goes and finds his brother, Simon Peter, and tells him that he has found the Messiah. That's all Peter needs to hear. He lets Andrew bring him to Jesus, and then he too starts to follow. The next day, Jesus finds Philip and invites him to follow as well. Philip is immediately in, and he goes and finds his friend Nathanael, who is not quite as easily brought aboard to Jesus. Now, I really like Nathanael in the scripture, and even he only appears a few other times in the Gospels, but when he does, it's good, because he keeps things real. He's got some questions. He needs some time before he is swayed that Jesus is somebody that he really wants to hang out with and follow, which I think is appropriate because even the brief mentions of Nathanael that we get, I get the feeling that Nathanael is the type of person that you have to kind of be around before you might like him as well. So I think it's fair that he feels that way about Jesus. But Jesus and Nathanael, they have this exchange about Nathanael under the fig tree. And Nathanael does an about-face, and he decides that he is going to follow Jesus. In the course of 16 verses, Jesus calls five disciples. Five disciples make the life-changing decision to follow Christ. They all come to Jesus in different ways, but they have some things in common. They're invited to come and see what Jesus is all about. They're invited to notice what Jesus is doing. They're invited to spend time with Jesus and then make the life-changing decision to follow after him. And all of this, it starts with one very simple, yet very deep question from Jesus. What are you looking for? These are the first words that Jesus says in the entire Gospel of John. And they're a question, you could read the entire Gospel of John thinking about this question if you wanted to. But he asked this to Andrew and the other disciple who are following him. At this point, not like following like disciples following, but just following like walking behind. And they're checking Jesus out, and Jesus says to them, "What are you looking for?" This question, the way Jesus asks it, it makes it clear he's not asking them for an answer like, "Oh, we're looking for a place to have lunch." This is a question of, "What are you seeking in life? What do you hope to find? What is the one thing at the core of your very being that you long for the most?" This is the question Jesus asked these two disciples. And it's also the question that Jesus asks each and every one of us. What are you looking for? What do you hope to find? Now we have to take this question with the same seriousness that Jesus asks it. Because if we look at it on the surface, we might be tempted to say, "Oh, I'm looking for money, or I'm looking for success, or I'm looking for power, or I'm looking for more stuff, or I'm looking for happiness, or I'm looking for escape." But is that really what your soul needs? Is that really the one deep thing in life that you're looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for belonging? Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for authenticity? Are you looking for love or peace or hope or life? What are you looking for? And the good news of this story and the good news of the gospel for our lives is that whatever you're looking for, belonging or purpose or authenticity or love or hope or peace or life or whatever, Jesus is offering that to you. Jesus is inviting you to come and experience whatever it is you're looking for. Jesus is at work providing your deepest needs and longings. No matter what we're looking for, Jesus is calling us to follow him. We're all called to follow Jesus. We're all called to seek from Jesus what we're looking for. We're all called as well to follow in certain ways by using our certain gifts in certain places by God. I first knew that I was called to be a pastor on Easter Sunday when I was 13 years old. This has nothing to do with it being actually Easter Sunday at church. I remember it was Easter because my older sister had gotten the movie She's All That in her Easter basket. She's All That is a teenage romantic comedy of the 1990s, so it is a very small window of people who would ever be likely to see this movie. So let me give you a brief plot synopsis about it. The movie stars Freddie Prinze Jr. as the cool kid in high school. And when his girlfriend breaks up with him right before prom, he bets his friends that he can take any girl in school and turn her in to prom queen. His friends, of course, pick the nerdiest girl in school, played by Rachel Lee Cook. The two start spending time together, where, of course, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character starts to see that the nerdy girl is actually cool and interesting, and if you just take off her glasses, she's like the most beautiful girl in the entire high school. So he starts to fall in love with her for real. Then she finds out that she is indeed a bet, and they briefly break up before getting back together at prom and living happily ever after. But, yeah, sorry if I just like spoiled the movie for you, but you had 20 years. So there's a scene in the movie where Rachel Lee Cook's character takes Freddie Prinze Jr. to this open mic night at some hip coffee house. He finds himself on stage having to perform at the coffee house, and he clearly isn't prepared, and because he's a jock, he has no artistic skills. And so he has this hacky sack in his pocket. A hacky sack is this little ball that people used to carry, and then they would like kick around on their feet, and you would try to like keep it in the air as long as you could. So he gets his hacky sack out, and he starts kicking it around. And while he does that, he delivers this monologue about how he feels like he has all these things in his life that he has to keep up and keep going. He has school and his friends and sports and his family. And if he drops any of these things, then he is a failure. Eventually, as he's going through this monologue, he drops the hacky sack, and he picks it up, and he says quite dramatically, "Sooner or later, it has to drop." Now, I remember watching this as a 13-year-old and thinking to myself, you know, somebody needs to tell people like Freddie Prinze Jr. that there's grace in the world and that there's a God who loves them unconditionally, and it's not up to them to get through life alone, but that Jesus is actually with them and at work, and that it's okay to mess up because Jesus takes care of you. And I remember thinking, hey, maybe I could be that person. Maybe I could become a pastor and I could tell people about the grace of Jesus. Something in 13-year-old me both sensed a deeper longing and need for my own life and saw that some character in a silly teenage movie also had a deeper longing and need in his own life. And in that moment, God called me to do something about it, to be a person whose identity was in Christ, and who invited others to come and see what Jesus was about, to come and see that Jesus provides whatever it is we're looking for. But here's the thing I know now that I didn't know when I was 13 years old. Jesus doesn't just call pastors to invite other people to come and see what he's doing. This is actually a call for each and every one of us. So then how do we do that? How do we share what Jesus is doing with others, and how do we invite people to know that Jesus has whatever it is they're looking for? Well, first, we have to come and see Jesus for ourselves. That's what Andrew and the other disciple do in response to Jesus' question. They actually answer his question with a question. They say, "Where are you staying?" And just like Jesus' question, this question is more than just the few words that we get. The disciples, they just aren't asking, like, "What house are you at, Jesus?" They're asking to be with him. The word "stay" that's used, it's the same one that's used in the scripture when we talk about dwelling with Jesus or abiding with Jesus or remaining with Jesus. So their question is, where can we go to abide with you, Jesus? That's what they're asking, and that's what they're invited into. A deep relationship of abiding and dwelling with Christ. For us, that's our first step, too, for both finding what we're looking for and for sharing this good news with others. We dwell with Jesus. We remain with him. We hang out with him. The more we dwell with Christ, the more time we devote to Jesus, the more we find what we're looking for in life. So in order to come and see for ourselves, we dwell with Jesus. And then we notice what Jesus is doing. Andrew noticed something about Jesus during that time with him, and he was able to go declare to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. What are you noticing that Jesus is doing? How have you seen Jesus at work in your life? How have you seen Jesus at work in your community? How have you seen Jesus at work in your world? Throughout the week at VBS, the kids did God sightings every morning, practicing where they had seen God. They're over there on that thing that kind of looks like a sail in the corner. You could look at them after church. What are your God sightings? Once we're spending time with Jesus, once we're taking time to notice the work of Jesus, then we'll be able to take the first step to sharing and inviting other people to know that Jesus has what they're looking for. Because we'll be able to know why our faith is important. If we're going to invite other people to come and see, we have to know why we are a part of the faith. Why is it important for you to abide with Jesus? What about Jesus makes you want to follow him? Now I'd venture to say that your answer to this probably has something to do with your answer to the question, what are you looking for? Perhaps you are looking for belonging, and in following Christ, you have found a community that loves and cares for you. Perhaps you are looking for purpose, and in following Christ, you have been given a call to be involved and to live out and to use your gifts to help others. That's up to you to think about, really. You have to know why it is you show up on Sunday mornings, why you show up at any time to anything that has to do with the faith. Why are you a part of the Christian faith? What difference does following Jesus make in your life? And so once you know what difference your faith makes in your life, then you have all that you need to share the good news of Jesus with others and to invite other people to come and see what Jesus is doing. Once you know why Jesus is important to you, then you have all that you need to invite people to know that Jesus has what they're looking for. Do you understand what that means? That means you don't have to have a certain number of Bible verses memorized to share the good news of Christ with someone. That means you don't have to know the answer to every single question somebody might ask about faith before you share with them about Jesus. That means you don't have to have a certain number of years you've been in church before you can invite somebody else to church. You've already got what you need. Now you just need to share. Now you just need to tell people, like Freddie Prinze Jr., that there is grace in the world and that Jesus loves them all the time, even when they fail. So once we've come to see Jesus for ourselves, we can invite other people to come and see. We can share with others the truths that we know and believe about Jesus. And look, I know that isn't natural for many of us. I know the thought about sharing about Jesus can be kind of intimidating. But here's the thing. You don't have to go and make it all weird. In fact, if you're doing it and it is weird, you probably are not doing it in the best way. To share about Jesus doesn't mean that you have to go and like accost a person at the grocery store. To share about Jesus means that in the course of your normal life, in the course of your normal relationships, in the course of your normal conversations, you talk about Jesus in the very same way you talk about anything that's important to you. Like maybe a friend is sharing about how they're going through a hard time, and you share about how Jesus helped you through a hard time. Or maybe you're talking about times of joy, and you share about how Jesus has brought you joy. Not weird, just natural. Talking about things that are important in our lives with other people. Sharing with others about Jesus. Sharing with others that Jesus has provided for them whatever it is they're looking for. We share with other people, and then we invite other people to come and see. Again, this doesn't have to be weird. We invite people to things all the time. We invite them to dinner or coffee or a ball game or a movie. And hopefully, you're not weird when you do that. And so all you do is you take your same skills that you use to invite to anything else, and then you use those skills to invite people to things that have to do with faith. You take something you like, and you take something you think is important, and remember, you've already done that. You've already thought about why your faith is important, and you invite somebody to join in checking it out. Have you found belonging in being part of a group at church? Then you invite somebody else to join it. Did you find purpose in being involved in some sort of ministry or a mission? Then invite somebody else to come along the next time you do it. That's it. That's how we invite people to come and see what Jesus is doing. That's how we share with people that Jesus already has whatever it is they're looking for. What are you looking for? Is the question that Jesus asked those two disciples, and is the question that Jesus asks us as well. And in doing so, he's getting at the very core of what we're hoping for, of what we're needing, of what we are longing for in our lives. We're called to come and see, to spend time with Jesus, to notice what Jesus is doing, so that we might have what we're looking for. And then, because we know that everybody is looking for something meaningful in their lives, we're called to share and to invite others to know that Jesus has what they're looking for. We're called to invite others to come and see. How can you come and see Jesus? How can you notice what Jesus is doing in your lives? Who do you know you can share it with? Who do you know who needs to know that Jesus has whatever it is they're looking for? Who do you know that you can invite to come and see what Jesus is doing? We're all looking for something. And the good news for our lives is that Jesus provides whatever it is we're looking for. Come and see. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful that whatever we're seeking, whatever we're looking for, that you provide it for each and every one of us. Lord, as people who have found what we're looking for, guide us to share your good news with others. Guide us to share with others where we see Christ at work, and guide us to invite others to come and see Christ for themselves. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.